This evening I would like to continue with what I believe God has started. And this evening I would like to share around the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Now, I tend to recap, so please forgive me. We shared about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom very simply has a king. And the king has absolute rule. And where the king's rule, or the kingdom of a king, extends as far as he has rule and influence. Where a king who has absolute rules, rule and influence ends, there his kingdom ends. And another kingdom begins. And God's kingdom extends only as far as his influence and rule in this world and in our lives. So where he rules ends, there somebody else's kingdom starts. And Jesus came into this world, into the kingdom of darkness, to break the power of sin and death, to come and establish the rule of God, the kingdom of God. And the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth and its manifestation through the church was not just coincided with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was through the power and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit that the kingdom of God was established on earth. Now that is what we shared the last 2 weeks. We also shared the fact that the kingdom of God starts within us. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within you. In other words, the kingdom of God starts within us when we submit to the rule of God. And it advances when more people come under the rule of God. That is how the kingdom of God advances. That is as simple as it is. When more come under His rule and authority. And we who are under God's rule and authority, when we come together, we are the church, the body of Christ. And Christ is the head of the body of the church. Now in Matthew 16 verse 18, Jesus said that I will build my church. It's so important to understand that, first of all, church is not a human institution, but it is a God institution. It's something that God ordained. Jesus said, I will build my church. And the Amplified puts it so beautifully, in the context of one kingdom against the other, Jesus coming to establish the kingdom of God, he said that I will build my church and the gates of hell, the powers of the infernal region, the underworld, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. In other words, Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God, to advance the kingdom of God, and this kingdom of God, this rule of God, will advance at the expense of the kingdom of darkness. In other words, those who are caught under the rule of Satan will be moved to the place of under the rule of God, and that kingdom will advance. So the question tonight for the church, here together in the context of everything that I shared in the past 3 weeks, what would you say is the mission of the church? How would you summarize the mission of the church? If somebody from outside would ask you, what is the mission of the church? How would you answer? I'm going to give you a few moments. If you turn to one another, three or four, let's share. What do you think is the mission of the church? Let's quickly turn to one another. If you don't know somebody, introduce yourself. What is the mission of the church? Okay. Any thoughts? The mission of the church. What do you guys say?
When Jesus stood up in the temple, he said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me to preach good news to the poor and to set free the captives and to open the eyes of the blind." I would say the mission of the church is to love the world.
Okay.
God loved the world. And he so loved the world.
It's good. To love the world. Anyone else? Any other group?
Equipping the saints.
For the work of the ministry. Anyone else?
We said to reach nations and generations.
That's okay. Fair enough. Anyone else? To further the kingdom of God. Okay. Yes, but you wanted to add something?
just saying the last verse that Jesus said before we went to on the cloud.
Yeah.
When he went away, he said, for the kingdom, but start with yourself, and then tell people about God, and then make them disciples of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. If you would take a portion of scripture to summarize the mission of the church, what would that be? Matthew 28. The last commandment Jesus gave to his disciples before he left, after he'd established the kingdom on earth, the church, and he gave them the final command. He says, listen here, I'm going away. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything that I've commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you always till the end of the age. That is the summary of the purpose of the church, the mission of the church. We as the kingdom of God, together as the body of Christ, the church, our purpose, our mission, is to take the kingdom and advance it. It's always interesting to note the sequence. First, to make disciples, then to baptize them, and then to teach them everything that the Lord has commanded. So last week we saw that it's not only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we are born again, because we were sharing in the context of the Holy Spirit and the church and the kingdom and what God is inviting us to do. But we looked at the fact that when someone who is under the power of Satan, under the rule of sin and sinful nature, needs to be born again to come into the kingdom of God. That process of being born again is by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that comes upon a believer that regenerates him, that makes him a new creation to enter into the kingdom of God. And through the Holy Spirit, we come under the rule of God. We used to be under the rule of Satan, now we become under the rule. That's also through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is through the Holy Spirit that we are being transformed from glory to glory into the image of Christ. So the Holy Spirit is the one that initiates, that recreates, that regenerates, and then transforms us into the image of Christ. But we also know that the Holy Spirit is not just a force, a power that comes upon us. He is a person. In other words, a person to whom we must surrender and keep in step with. That is what I shared last Sunday. So we entered into the kingdom of God through the Holy Spirit. So we enter into the kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit. But then to advance the kingdom, we need more of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and it's that distinction that I'm going to focus on this evening. The difference between the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in us and then the empowering work of the Holy Spirit in us. There is a clear distinction. When we are saved, it is the Holy Spirit that fills us, that regenerates us, that embarks in this process of transforming us into the likeness of Christ. But then there's another work of the Holy Spirit, and that is the empowering work of the Holy Spirit, and that is to advance the kingdom of God. That is the difference of being saved and just saved, and like we charismatic says, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be spirit-filled, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is the difference between the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit and then the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's very interesting here, in John chapter 20, Jesus is now for the first time after his death and resurrection appearing to his disciples. This is the first time that he appeared. Now, we also shared and we looked at the fact that the most significant time in history was not when Jesus was born, but actually when Jesus died and was raised from the dead. It's at that point that history changed. It's at that point where the old was replaced by the new. It was at that point where mankind has the opportunity to be transformed from being in Adam into Christ. That was the pivotal moment of history. And we looked at the fact that the Gospels shares with us everything that happened up to that point and just stopped just after. And then we have the rest of the New Testament in the New. But here we see Jesus for the first time after His death and resurrection. In other words, for the first time when the old was done away with and the new has come, Jesus now appears to His disciples for the very first time in John 20. This is just after Mary came to the disciples and says, "Listen, yeah, I saw the Lord, He's alive." And they thought, you know what, maybe you're crazy. And then Jesus appears in their midst. And they were obviously all frightened. And Jesus said, "Peace. It's me. Relax." And then He did something very interesting. He breathed on them. We read here. He says, "And with that, He breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Now, this was just after His death and resurrection. This was quite some time before Pentecost. Okay, because Jesus was still on earth for how many days? 40 days. 40 days, but there was 120 in the upper room. 40 days and then a couple of days and then Pentecost. So Jesus breathed on His disciples spiritually so that they could become a new creation in the new covenant. Because technically, under the old covenant, they were saved under the provision of the old covenant. But they have not yet come into the fullness of the new covenant, which only came into being after the death and the resurrection of Jesus and the promise of the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So here Jesus appears to them for the first time after His death and resurrection, and He breathes on them so that they can be regenerated. Because until this point, the disciples did not enter into the new covenant provisions under the new covenant. They only lived under the provision of the old covenant. So here Jesus comes to give them access to everything and all the provisions based on His death and resurrection. So the disciples then received the Holy Spirit, were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, were regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and that was sometime before Pentecost. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit that only took place at Pentecost was a second and distinct work of the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? Do you still follow me? Okay. So that separate and distinct work of the Holy Spirit is still the same for believers today. There is the regeneration work of the Holy Spirit when He comes upon us, when we have faith in Him. He comes upon us and He regenerates us into Christ to become a new creation and then to become more like Christ. And then there is a second work of the Holy Spirit, which is distinct from the first, and that is the empowerment. The first is so that we can become more like Christ, and the second is so that we can do like Christ. The one is the regenerating, and the one is the empowering. The one is to bring us into the kingdom of God, and the other one is there to extend the kingdom of God. There is a distinct difference between the two. Now here we see in Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus speaking to His disciples. He says that, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you will be clothed with power from high." And then, of course, in Acts 1, verse 8, He said, "But you will receive power when my Holy Spirit come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Do you see that? The empowering of the Holy Spirit was meant for the extension of the kingdom. The regenerating of the Holy Spirit is meant for the changing of us into Christ. Now it's interesting to know Jesus did not need the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit because He was the Son of God. He had no sin. He was not under the power of sin. He was not in Adam, but He was in God. So Jesus never needed the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. But what Jesus did need was the empowering of the Holy Spirit to do the work of God. Now we see that throughout Scripture that Jesus did nothing without the Holy Spirit, and He didn't start His ministry until the empowering of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, filled in the Holy Spirit, whatever label you want to call it. Tonight I'm just calling it the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But as we know it, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit. We charismatics, we have different labels for it. So Jesus Himself did nothing until that moment that He was empowered. And from that moment, when He was empowered by the Holy Spirit, He did the work of God. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, we read something of that. "Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Him." So I'm going to belabor this point quite often. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the empowerment to do the will and the work of God. So important to stress that, especially in the charismatic world, because we relate to the baptism of the Holy Spirit sometimes a bit differently. We sometimes relate to the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a power that comes upon us, and not as a person who is empowering us to do something. Jesus said, the verse that was shared earlier in Luke 4, Jesus, shortly after he started his work, after his empowerment, he went to a synagogue close to his home, and he was handed the scroll. It was his turn to read from the scroll, and he gave him Isaiah, and then he read the following portion of the scripture. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord has empowered me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty of the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he said that this scripture has been fulfilled in your midst. You see, the anointing, the empowerment, the baptism, the filling of the Holy Spirit is to extend the kingdom of God. That is his purpose. At the expense of the kingdom of darkness. So to bring people out of the rule of darkness into the rule of God, through making disciples, through baptizing them, through teaching them. As Isaiah says, that's one of those slides, to preach the gospel. That, one back, there we go. That, there we go. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit on Christ, which is exactly the same as us, is to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to those who are captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who have been oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That is the purpose of the empowerment of God, is to take those who are here and to make them free, to bring them from one rule to another, to bring them from one kingdom to another, to extend the kingdom of God. In the same way as the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in us manifests in a particular way. That's what we shared last time. If you wasn't here, get the CD. Remember last time we shared that the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit that comes on every believer manifests in a particular way. It's not just a force, but it's a person, in other words, relationship. And by keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, it will manifest in a particular way through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all those things. So in other words, as the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we keep in step with, in relationship with the Holy Spirit, it will manifest in a particular way, and the Bible calls it the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. If we keep in step with the Holy Spirit, we will become more like Christ. Now, in exactly the same way, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, which is to extend the kingdom of God, which is not a power that comes upon us, but it is a relationship that we go into. If we keep in step with the Holy Spirit, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, it will also manifest in a particular way. And the Bible calls that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is different to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it's about that I want to share. In the context that the Holy Spirit is not just a power, but a person, which means we need to have a relationship with Him, we need to keep in step with Him, we need to yield to Him. Now again, I need to stress that the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is not just a once-off event in one's life, a power that comes upon us once and for all. It is a relationship that we can. Even in Scripture we see that after the outpouring, the initial baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know those disciples were filled again with the Holy Spirit on numerous occasions? It was not just at Pentecost once and for all, and that was it. We see here in Acts 4, we read for instance that after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God more boldly. Again, it's very interesting to see the empowerment of the Holy Spirit always led to something. It was not an inward regeneration, but it was an outward boldness to proclaim, to extend, to grow the kingdom of God. Exactly the same happened there. Filled with the Holy Spirit again, as opposed to the first time in Acts chapter 4, when we see that, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues, in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. And then, of course, in Ephesians 5, verse 16 to 18, we read, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not become unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." So, I'm going to belabor this point over again. The work of the Holy Spirit, the regenerating work, and then the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. It's a different relationship. The regeneration work is so that I can become like Christ. The empowering of the Holy Spirit is so that I can do like Christ. The one is so that I can become more like and enter into and grow in the kingdom of God as an individual, but the other is for me to extend the kingdom of God. The regenerating work and the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. Now the gifts is the manifestation of the empowerment to extend the kingdom of God. It is given to extend the kingdom of God. And I have to belabor that, but we as charismatics, we sometimes relate to the baptism of the Holy Spirit as an inward empowering for us to grow further in our relationship with God. And that's not what it's meant to do. The gifts were given to empower us to actually extend the kingdom of God. But you know what? In the charismatic world especially, we have been indoctrinated by the prosperity teaching and about my calling and my purpose and my destiny and what I can do and what God can do for me. And so many times we see that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that we tick and it's something that's going to empower us so that I can become successful in what I want to do. And if we live in that relationship and that expectancy, focusing on what we can do or what we can receive, the gifts of the Holy Spirit will never come to its fullness. Because it was not meant to bless me. It was meant to empower me so that not my kingdom can extend, but God's kingdom can extend. And that is the divide between the two. Sometimes I fear that we have become content with speaking in tongues as charismatics. It's so nice to have a gift. So now we can say to those who don't have it that we are better than them. That we have moved up. We are no longer just here being regenerated. No, we have graduated. We have come to the place where we have empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what? To speak in tongues. And you know what? The speaking in tongues is an important gift to edify the believer, to build up his spirit man, so that he can be strong to extend the kingdom of God. But you know what? That gift can so easily be applied only inwardly for me and God. And never grows to the place where it's actually meant to be to extend the kingdom of God. And so many charismatics, we get stuck there. And it's sometimes a source of pride because we look down to those poor brothers and sisters of ours in other denominations that haven't come to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But we are meant to be outside and in witnesses. Because so many times the Holy Spirit can be limited to me again. But the gifts were meant to empower us to extend the kingdom. And how do we extend the kingdom? To be witnesses. Witnesses outside of the church and witnesses inside the church. And I'm going to explain to you what that means. Now, being a witness outside the church, I'm not going to spend a lot of time there because I have a lot to share. But that's kind of obvious. The Holy Spirit came to empower us to be witnesses. In other words, as we go out into the world, the Holy Spirit has come upon us to empower us to be an effective witness, so that the kingdom can extend. But the Holy Spirit is also given to us so that we can be an effective witness within the body. So that from within the body, the kingdom can grow. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and this is where we're going to read the Word of God, I'm going to stop talking. So if you have a Bible, I'm going to do lots of reading. But I've also added it on the slide. Now, Paul writes about the gifts. Okay. And we're going to read everything that he has to say about the gift. Not everything, because then it'll be a long time. Just most of it. Now, Paul starts off. In the context of regeneration, the fruits, empowerment, the gifts. Regeneration is to enter into the kingdom, to grow into the kingdom, and the empowerment, which is to extend the kingdom. He says, now about the spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of workings, but the same God who works all of them in all men. Now each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now I want to stop there. The New King James says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So first of all, again, he says, listen here, the gifts were given not just for yourself. It was actually given for the profit of all. In other words, the gifts were given not for an inward application. It was given for an outward application. Then he continues. To the one, and I want to say, this is so powerful in the context of the invitation that I believe God was giving us as a church. To move from a place of not just having an experience, but having an encounter with God. Where people who will come from the outside into our midst will not just have a great experience, but they will actually have an encounter with God. And God was inviting us that the difference between the experience and the encounter is the Holy Spirit, to grow in a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit, into a more full relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it's in context of all this that I'm also speaking. So then he says, how does this work? This gift. He says, to the one is given the word of wisdom, to the other the word of knowledge, by the same means, by the same Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing, by the same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. Still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one as He determines. Then he continues here in verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many members. So he was speaking in the context of the different gifts. He was speaking in the context, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is giving gifts to all of us. It's different gifts. It is the same Spirit that gives these gifts, but they are different. To some, He gives the ability to give words of wisdom. To some, He gives the ability to give words of knowledge. To some, He gives the ability to prophesy. To others, to heal. To others, to do miracles. To others, to speak in tongues. And to others, to interpret. They are all different. But we are part of the same body. Even though we have different gifts, we are meant to function as a unit. You're still with me? Okay. Or should I say Paul? Then he continues. This body is a unit, though it's made up of many members. And though all the parts are many, they are from one body. So is it with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Therefore, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we've all been given the one Spirit to drink of. Now I want to stop there for a moment. If church is only about worship and preaching, then we are not operating as a unit. If church is only about worship and preaching, we are not functioning as a body. And if church is only about worship and the preaching of the word, you know what? We are not fulfilling the purpose of what church is meant to be. Because there are different gifts of the same Spirit. And the one is not more important than the other. They are meant to be all there. Now verse 14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but actually of many. Not just one gift, not just one manifestation of one particular gift, or maybe two. It's actually made up of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand because I do not preach, or because I do not lead worship, or whatever you want to add in there, or because I cannot prophesy, or because I cannot heal, or because I cannot, whatever. I do not belong to the body. It would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to become part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, if everybody were preaching, where would be the hearing? And if the whole would be an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But God, in fact, has arranged the part of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. You see, as we grow in our relationship with God, as we keep in step with the Holy Spirit, you know what? The fruit of the Holy Spirit will manifest in us joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and we will become more like Christ. And if we keep in step with the Holy Spirit after we've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to extend the kingdom of God, you know what? The gifts will also manifest in our life. The words of wisdom for some, knowledge for others, prophecy for others, healing for others, miracles for others, prophecy for others, speaking in tongues, interpreting of tongues. You know what? As we continue in our relationship, keeping in step with that relationship with the Holy Spirit, because it's not just a force that comes upon us. It is a person and a relationship with. But as we continue with this relationship, you know what? The gifts will become more evident in our lives. You will start to grow in particular gifts. You will see that you are a prof. You have the gift of prophecy, or you will see you have the gift of healing, or a combination of words of wisdom, whatever it is. But as you grow, in the same way as you grow in the regenerating relationship with the Holy Spirit, as you grow in the empowering relationship with the Holy Spirit, those gifts will become evident and manifest in your life and become more distinct. Verse 19. If they were all one part, where will the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. We are not all meant to preach. We are not all meant to prophesy. Are you still following me? The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seems to be weaker or indispensable, and the parts that we think less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. For if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. In other words, you know what? If there is not the platform or the manifestation or the ability for the prophet in the church, you know what? The body suffers. If there's not a platform for the gifts of healing to flow in church, you know what? The church is unbalanced and suffers. You know, religion has limited church to a preacher and a worship leader. And that is not how church is meant to be. That is not the body of Christ. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So the gift is meant to be operated within the church also. When we are together on Sundays, on Wednesdays, in our prayer meetings, whenever believers, those who are under the rule of God, come together as the body of Christ, the church, the gifts are meant to operate, to manifest in its capacities, various different capacities, together. Verse 28. And the church of God, and in the church, God has appointed ministries. That is just simply a further outflow of the gifts. Defined offices within the body. Within the manifestation of these various gifts, God has then also appointed ministries for a little bit of structure. But also, if you follow later on, first of all, apostles, second prophets, teachers, worker of miracles, and those having gifts of healing, those who enable others or to help others, those with gifts of administration, those with the speaking of different kinds of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have the gift of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret. No, we're not meant to all do the same. We are meant to be different. We are meant to have different gifts. We are meant to manifest it differently. And it's meant to be part of the body. It's meant to be the experience. Remember, put it in context here. God's word, His invitation to us. To extend the kingdom of God, but not through our systems and our structure, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember the invitation that when people come from the outside into our midst, that they will not just have an experience, but they will have an encounter with God. Through the Holy Spirit. There are different gifts and different ministries, and all are meant to manifest in church. That we can grow, the church can grow, and that the kingdom can extend. Ephesians 4 verse 11 to 16 says the same thing. It says, it was that He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, to prepare God's people for the work of service. So that the body may be built up until it reach unity in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of fullness in Christ. That's a mouthful. Very powerful. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and fro by waves and blown here and there by every teaching, by every cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. And from Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows up and builds itself up in love as each one does its part. We are the body of Christ here. I'll get to your question later. We are the body of Christ. Each one of us has a role. As we continue in our relationship with God, that role becomes evident, more clear. The gift of God. Church is meant for every gift to manifest. Okay. Verse 31. Now Paul says something interesting. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now, first of all, we see that God gives gifts. But now Paul says here, and he throws something in the whole mixture. He says, listen here, God has given different gifts to different people, and it's meant to be like that. And it's meant to manifest all together. Not just one gift have more prominence than the other, but actually every gift should work together. And then he actually adds to that. He says, now that you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, I want you to desire the greater gifts. So what does that mean? Again, it is a response. It requires a response from us. Because like I shared earlier, the Holy Spirit is not a power that just comes upon us. The Holy Spirit is also a person to whom we must relate to. So as we've been empowered by the Holy Spirit, we need to walk with the Holy Spirit, grow with the Holy Spirit, and desire, ask for, engage with, say, Lord, I ask for greater gifts. Not just the ability to speak in tongues, but Lord, I ask to prophesy, I ask to heal, I ask for faith, I ask for, I desire, God, I long for, Holy Spirit, I pray that You will come and empower me with Your gifts. So we need to engage, desire God to use and to work through us. And if we do not desire, engage with, for the purpose of extending, you know what, God will not respond to. But we need to desire. We need to ask. We need to seek. It is a relationship with. It's not just a power that comes on us once. And now we can tick the box. And now we're better than those who haven't ticked the box. That's not the Holy Spirit. The empowering work of the Holy Spirit. That was, very briefly, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in the middle, Paul has a little break. He says, listen, before we go on with this gift thing, I want to put it in context here. And 1 Corinthians 13 is the book of love. He says, listen, before we go on, I just want to bring balance here. That the gifts, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit without love means nothing. And if you think you're better than somebody else because you've got something, you know what? You're missing the point. So love is the foundation, the basis. We don't have time tonight to do that. Okay. But he brings balance. And then after the commercial break, he continues in chapter 14. Chapter 12 brings in the battle, chapter 13, and then he goes here on chapter 14. Verse 1. Follow the way of life and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gifts of prophecy. Now, Paul was speaking in the context of a great charismatic church. They were all being empowered and they all had the capacity to speak in tongues. And guess what? That's all they did. They spoke in tongues. Because, hey, we have been empowered by this gift. And the services were pretty much just everybody standing up and speaking in tongues to one another. And they thought they're having a great meeting. They thought, listen here, we're really being empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're really now moving somewhere. And Paul is coming in there and says, wait. Hang on. Hang on here a moment. That's great that you've been empowered. That's great to see your eagerness. But you know what? There are greater gifts than speaking in tongues. Because I fear that you're missing the point. Because the gifts were not given for you to edify yourself. The gifts are given so that you can advance the kingdom of God. So I'm writing this letter just to correct you here, to guide you here, to put things in place. So he's saying, following the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gifts of prophecy. Because the gifts were not inward, but meant to be outward. For anyone who speaks a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. If you speak in a tongue, this is a relationship with you and God. It is not the extension of the kingdom out there. It is the extension of the kingdom in here. So I want to rectify your perception about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So he goes on. Indeed, no one understands him, but he utters mysteries with the Spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men in their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers, if I come to you and I speak in a tongue, what good will it be to you? Unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction. Even in the case of lifeless instruments that make sounds, such as a flute or a harp, how will anyone know what the tune is being played unless there is a distinction of notes? Again, if a trumpet doesn't sound a clear sound, who will get ready for battle? So is it with you, who only speak in tongues. Unless you speak intelligent work with your tongues, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will be just speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. So is it with you. Since you are eager and have spiritual gift, try to excel in the gifts that builds up the church. If you only speak in tongues and somebody from the outside comes into your midst, you know what? He's going to think you're crazy and he's going out again. If he comes from the outside and you only speak in tongues, you know what? He's going to have an experience and he's going to leave. But you know what? If you all manifest the greater gifts and you start to prophesy and to heal, you know what? When an outsider comes inside and you have a word of knowledge, what is wrong in his life, and you have a word of wisdom, somebody else adds to him and says, listen to this, this is wrong in your life, this is what you need to do, and then somebody comes with a prophecy, you know what? I know about that sickness of your aunt and we want to pray for that. And then somebody else says, now let me just pray for your sickness as well. And then, by the way, your aunt that is sick with cancer, you know about that, of course. Let's pray for that also. You know what? That person is going to have an encounter with God. And he's going to say, you know what? God is in this place. That's what Paul is talking about. So here, verse 13. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I pray in my spirit, but I also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen for the thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? How may he be given thanks well enough? You may be given thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I will rather speak 5 intelligent words to instruct others than 10,000 words in tongues. Verse 20. Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. Verse 22, I'm just skipping a few. Then, tongues then are a sign, not for the believers, but for the unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for the believers, not for the unbelievers. So, if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in a tongue, and someone who does not see or some unbeliever comes in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and that he will be judged by all and that the secrets of his heart will lay bare. So he will fall down and worship God, explaining God is really in this place. You see that? The difference between having an experience and encounter with God, if everybody flows in their gifts and it manifests and somebody comes in to, there will be an encounter with God. Remember the invitation to move from a place of experience to a place of encounter through the Holy Spirit. Then verse 26. What then shall we say, brothers? That's Paul. He's saying, okay, how do we do this practically? How do we do this practically? How does it work? What shall we say then, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. In other words, Paul is saying, come prepared. Come prepared. Come prepared to church. That means a change of mindset. It means a change of relationship. It means from moving just coming to church to receive to a place to coming to church to give. There's a big difference. It's just coming to see what God is telling me, or coming, God, I'm praying, I'm preparing myself. God, what is the word? What is the gift, Lord? What is that what you want me to add to edify the church Sunday, Wednesday, the prayer meeting? God, I pray that you will come and work through me. God, I have an expectation to see your kingdom grow. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and manifest within me. God, come and fill me. God, I want to see your kingdom. It is a change of paradigm, a renewing of the mind. It is the seeking the kingdom of God first. It is a change of mind. The invitation to move from a place of experience to a place of encounter, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, is going to mean a change of mindset. It's going to mean the way, change the way we do church, come to church, the expectation with church. It's going to change the way we go to work, leave our homes. Because it's now in a relationship with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to extend the kingdom of God. It is a lifestyle of walking in step with the Holy Spirit, praying before we come to church, praying before we go to the home group. It's all about the kingdom. That is why the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That is why baptism of the Holy Spirit is there. That is why the infilling of the Holy Spirit is there. It's all about the kingdom. And it starts with that choice. When we've grown to the place of being in Christ, where we come to the place, now, Lord, I'm ready for your kingdom to come. I want your kingdom to come. I want to see that, but I realize I do not have the capacity within myself. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and empower me so that your kingdom can extend. How does it work practically? You know what? When we come together, each one of us, as we walk in our relationship with God, the gifts will manifest more definedly. And when we come together on Wednesdays And on Sundays, and wherever we come together as the church, we are ought to manifest the various gifts. And you know, that's why we do church the way we do. That's why we don't just sing one song for a half an hour, but we have different songs, and we have little pauses in between, because we give opportunities, and that's the aim, for you to share. And then Paul continues on the orderly service, and then he has strict guidelines. We don't have time to go in. He says, for instance, he's very particular on how it works in a service. He says, listen here, there can only be two, maximum three prophets, and only two words, but only words in the tongue if it's interpreted. And then he goes in great detail. He says, listen here, there must be order. Yes, there must be an opportunity for the gifts to flow, but it must be in order, so I'm giving you little instructions. Only two words, maximum three. And if you're going to share a tongue, it must be interpreted. So there must be order. And practically, I want to encourage you, as we embrace the invitation to grow in our Holy Spirit, to be empowered so that the gifts can manifest through us, when we come together, it's meant to manifest. It's not just about the worship and the preaching. It's about the manifestation of the gifts within us so that when somebody from the outside, you know, am I making my point? Okay. Practically, all that means is when we come together, we must come prepared. We must come with a word, a hymn, an instruction, a prophecy, a tongue. Come prepared, Paul says. Have an expectation. Be prepared. An excitement. A desire to see the kingdom come and the Holy Spirit empower us so that the kingdom can come. And even as we worship and the Holy Spirit does manifest upon you, or the gift manifests, you know what? You must have the freedom to express it. That's why I love Prim. Praise God for Prim. Because from time to time, Prim will stand up and he will pray. You know what? That's the difference between religion and church. Because structure, if it's not interrupted, it becomes religious. If it's just the same thing every Sunday, very predictable, that we determine what happens and how it happens. You know what? That borders on religion. But when the gifts start to manifest and there's freedom for those gifts to manifest, that is when church happens as it's intended to happen. Okay. So I want to encourage you, as you grow in your gift, know that you have the freedom to share your word, to share the prophecy, to read the scripture, to sing the song, to pray in the spirit, if there is interpretation, to trust God for interpretation if you do, to ask Him before you do that there is, to give you opportunity, because that is what church is meant to be. It's not just about the preaching. It's actually about the manifestation of the gifts of God in the midst of the body. Not one more important than the other, but all are meant to flow. You see, if there's only a teacher, and I'm more a teacher than I'm a pastor or an evangelist. I'm not even an evangelist. Okay. But if there's only teacher in the church, you know what? It's not a balanced church. As we grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, you know what? The gifts will manifest and also the ministries. And there will be room for prophets, and there will be room for those who heal, and there will be room for those who have faith, and there will be room for those with miracles. That is a balanced church. That is a healthy church. But that is all dependent on our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And practically, you know what? If you feel that the Holy Spirit is laying a word in your heart, a song in your heart, you know what? You come to the guy in charge, whoever is in leadership here. You come to me and you submit to them. That's where order comes in. That's where Paul comes. And you say, listen, yeah, this is what I feel the Lord is saying. This is what I feel the Holy Spirit is prompting me to do. And you just submit that to the leader. And then he will tell you, yes. Or sometimes the Holy Spirit has been speaking in a particular direction. He's talking about, say, healing. And then all of a sudden, here comes somebody with a word about, you know, prosperity, argument's sake. God's going to bless you. But the Lord was busy speaking in a particular. And then the leader will discern, listen, yeah, this is maybe that word is maybe not for this time. So there will be control, because we're all growing. And then he will tell you, listen here, maybe not this Sunday. Don't be offended, okay? That's why there is leadership in church. So he will control. You know, and when I'm here, it's very easy. I'm at the back. I'm always at the back. I like to watch what's going on. And for some of you, that might be great. It's better that I tell you there at the back, maybe next time, than here in front. Maybe next time. Okay, but I'm always at the back, at the same place there at the desk. Come and find me. Okay, but there must be order, there must be control. That's what Paul is speaking about. And he also says that the spirit of the prophet is under the control of the prophet. In other words, there's no such thing that you're not in control of what the Holy Spirit is doing. There's no such thing that you are not in control. He says you are in control of everything that the Holy Spirit gives you to do. You can decide. So there must be order. Wednesdays, coming together in our small groups. That is a great environment, non-threatening environment, where we come together as believers so that we can exercise the gifts, so that we can grow in the gifts, so that when we come together on Sundays that we can actually manifest the gifts. Okay, so that's a great way to start in the home group. And to really trust, and I really want to encourage you guys in your home groups to really trust the Holy Spirit, to work through these things that God is sharing with us. That you'll come together and you trust the Holy Spirit, not just to speak in tongues, but to eagerly desire greater gifts. And prophecy is only one. And then to trust God to pray and to prophesy over one another in a non-threatening way that your brother can tell you, you know what, that's very blessed, but I don't think that's on. So you must grow a little bit more. You know, that's what small groups are for. You know, so that we can grow. And because we make mistakes. And it's a process of growing into your gift from glory to glory. Okay, so don't be offended, don't be intimidated, don't be under pressure never to make a mistake. And you know what, when it comes to prophecy, prophecy is not about predicting the future. Prophecy is simply speaking the word of God. And sometimes that entails the future. But you know, when you pray for one another, it's simply about trusting, you know, a practical way. It's coming to home group and say, listen, we're going to trust the Holy Spirit to manifest the spirit of prophecy. God, I thank you that you say that we must desire prophecy, Lord. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and manifest the spirit of prophecy. And then you divide up into little groups and you start praying for one another. You pray in the tongue, you pray in the spirit until you believe God is giving a word, a picture, a vision that God sees, that you see. And then you pray that over that person. Whatever you see, whatever you feel. But trust God. Step out into that. Don't get stuck with tongues. We charismatics. We can speak in tongues. You know? That's not the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's just the start. It is, but it's just the start. That is the word. That is the invitation. To move from an experience to an encounter. So when people come into that door, and everybody's prophesying about their life, and somebody comes and heal, and somebody comes to add, and somebody, you know what? That person's going to have an encounter with God. And he's going to say, surely God is in this place. And then he even haven't even heard the message. Amen?
Amen?
So every one of us has a role to play. And if you're still here in the regenerating phase, that's fine. That's fine. But there's going to come a place and a point in your life where you feel that, God, it's time for me to move on. I want to see your kingdom come. That's the time when you come and you say, Lord, I please pray that you baptize me, that you come and empower me, that you come and fill me to do your will. And even if you've been baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that doesn't matter. It's a continual process. Because it's an empowerment to extend the kingdom. Not an empowerment to grow here only. That's important. But it has to go beyond that. It has to come to the desire to see the kingdom come. To come with an expectancy to church. God, we want to see people's lives change. God, we want to see people move from the rule of darkness, from the oppression, from the blindness, from the brokenness. God, we want to see them move to the place of wholeness, of freedom, of knowing you, of experiencing, encountering with you. And God, we come together with that expectancy. God, I pray that you will come. You see, that is what it means to seek the kingdom first. In church, in home groups, in prayer groups, whenever we come together as the body. That is how it's meant to be. All of us. And I know some of you might be tired of trying, of doing, of flowing in the gifts. Be encouraged. If you're tired, pray with me. Let us all respond to the invitation. Because church is not about me. It's about us. It's about all of you together. That is what church is about. It's God's invitation to all. To move. To go deeper. To move from being regenerated to being empowered. to see his kingdom come. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, I thank you that we can come to you because of your Son. Thank you, Father, that you have given us your Son and gave us your Holy Spirit until your work on earth is done. Thank you, God, that because of your Son we may have life. And that we may have freedom, God, to come into your presence knowing that we are accepted and beloved, God. That we may have an encounter with you, God, because we are free of the past, Lord. And the sin and the power of sin and death and hang over us. God, we thank you for your Son. But we thank you, God, that you did not leave us as orphans, as fatherless children. But you gave us your Spirit. The same Spirit that was on your Son, the same Spirit that identified Christ as the Son of God. The same sign, the same power that raised him from the dead, Lord, you have given us. You have poured out in our life that we may also be called sons of God and daughters of God and children of God and heirs with Christ. God, you send your only begotten Son that he may become the firstborn of many brethren so that we can be part of your family, God. Lord, we thank you for that privilege. God, let us not take that for granted. But Lord, let us take hold of every promise and of your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you will come and teach us. Teach us, Lord, what it means to be a child of God. Teach us about the kingdom, God. You say that you will teach us and that we need no one else because you will teach us all things. So Holy Spirit, tonight we pray that you will come and take our hands and our feet and our mouths and our minds, Lord, and that you will teach us. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and fill us, that you will come and empower us, that we may see your work on earth done, that we may continue with the work that you have begun until it's finished, God, that we may labor with you and know what it means to labor with you. Until that day that your work is done and that you return. And that we may hear those words, good and faithful servant. Well done. Lord, I pray that you will come, Holy Spirit. And God, I want to respond to your invitation to move to a different place. Not just doing church as an organization, but doing church as the kingdom of God that will advance against the gates of hell. And it will not fail. It will overcome. It will destroy. It will move. God, but we need you. We need your Holy Spirit to come and empower us. And God, we want to come before you and plead with you, desire, God, you to come and do your work in us. Come and fill us again, God. Come and renew our hearts. Come and empower us, God. Come and pour out your Spirit in us, God. And as we grow, Lord, your gifts in us. Lord, and take us from where we're at, Lord, to grow to a place, Lord, where you manifest your purposes through us completely, God. Help us to grow to a place where we seek your kingdom first, God. Every day when we leave our homes, we're sensitive to your voice, Holy Spirit, and your guidance. If you want to respond to God's invitation, I want to give you an opportunity to stand just where you're at. Father, thank you for your promise that's been fulfilled through your Son and the outpouring of your Spirit. Thank you, God, that you have picked us up, Lord, and we have experienced the power, God, of your Holy Spirit in us. As we've been renewed, God. As we've been set free, as we've been cleansed, God, as we grow, Lord, in our understanding of you and our relationship with you, God, we thank you for that, God, and we thank you that you have promised that you will also empower us, God, to extend your kingdom, not only to be part of it, but to extend it, God. And I pray, God, that as we respond to you, Holy Spirit, that you will come and empower us, that you will come and fill us, God, that you will come and baptize us again, God, and again, fill us, God. Again, Lord, like you did in the beginning, God, I pray that you will just right now come and fill us, God. Come and empower us, God. Come and strengthen us, God. Come and renew us again, God. Come and take hold of our life, God, as we submit to you, God. And Lord, we pray that you will teach us, God, that you will manifest through us, God, your gifts, Lord, so that your kingdom can come, Lord. As it is in heaven, God, we pray that it will manifest in the same manner in earth, God. Lord, as we submit our own lives under your rule, we pray that others will do so also by your power in Jesus' name. So come, Holy Spirit, right now, Lord, and fill us again. Empower us in Jesus' name, God. And as we come before you in this week, God, I pray that you will speak to us, that you will empower us, that your gifts will manifest through us, and that your body will be edified and your kingdom extend. In Jesus' name.